You're listening to Aubrey CD Speaks, where truth is spoken for your freedom. Hello, you are listening to Aubrey CD Speaks. This is episode 3 of season 4, and I will continue on the topic of faith. The topic of faith seems to be what Holy Spirit is leading and directing during this time. We'll see how long he has me share on it. He's really been showing me some more about faith, and actually my pastor has been preaching on faith as well, and I've been really enjoying it, really fascinated by it too. Just the Lord's just been showing me so much and opening and reminding me of things, just reminding me of the knowledge of faith and what faith is, and encouraging me and continuing to live it out in my life and trust the Lord and have faith in his word and speaking in faith in everything that is done in my life. It's been really cool to be learning about this and both at church and just what the Lord's been showing me while I read to my children. As I explained in the first episode about Abraham's faith of this season, season 4, I began to read about Abraham to my children during our Bible study and while homeschooling. And the Lord just really just zoned in on the faith of Abraham. And there's so many other things to talk about. And we have talked about other things, but really zoned in on me talking and sharing with them and having discussions with them on Abraham's faith. And it's been really interesting to hear what they think and what they know, and going over and explaining some things. And I've really enjoyed it, and the kids seem to really enjoy it. And we stopped. The Lord had me stop with Jacob, and had me stop after he had the dream where there was the ladder to heaven and the angels ascending and descending, and how he made a covenant with God from that point on, and to serve him and to give him 10% of everything and all of that. And his life, Jacob's life, was changed from then on. And I would say it's probably like that first part in life between him and God that they've made this moment happen. And anybody that knows about Jacob knows that there's going to be some other moments where he and God are going to have some discussing and have some conversation. But the Lord had me stop there and move to Deuteronomy and talk with the kids and read with the kids about the Israelites. And if you know about Deuteronomy, that first section of Deuteronomy is Moses just going over and reiterating what's been happening with the Israelites, and he's talking to them. But what's been happening with the Israelites and what's been going on, and why they didn't get to the promised land. And I went through it with my kids and let them talk and share with me why they felt the children of Israel hadn't been to the promised land, even though it doesn't take very long to get from Egypt to Israel. And like, it wasn't supposed to, the journey that they were going to take wasn't going to take very long. And before I continued reading, just really talked with them about what Moses was saying and what they thought, and, you know, and it goes right back into faith and the, them disobeying the Lord and not going out and taking the land that they were supposed to take, and what it meant. And the kids were like, well, it was their lack of faith. They didn't trust that the Lord was going to take care of them. And I was like, yes, exactly. That's exactly it. And how their lack of faith led them to disobedience. And because of disobedience, none of that generation, except for a few, were able to go into the Promised Land. And so we're there and we're talking and we're discussing, and the Lord's showing me again things about faith. And you know, just really emphasizing a lack of faith leads to disobedience, and how you know, faith brings out obedience, you know, the actions of faith. And so I'm going to share with you some things about that and what the Lord's been showing me. And of course, there's some things that are just for me personally on faith. And so it's not exactly what I'm going to be sharing, because like I said, the Lord has really been targeting faith and what faith is and what it looks like and what it looks like with everything else in a walk with Christ, because he has yet to say anything's different. But there's action. You know, if you've ever listened to any of my podcasts, I talk about how the Lord told me, you know, and showed me the importance of sitting at his feet, and him telling me more can be done at his feet than on my own. And, you know, there's the thought of, well, you know, how do you get things done when it comes to ministry and when it comes to being a light to this world? How do you get those things done if you're sitting at his feet and you're trusting him, you know, to do whatever, and you're not on your feet doing things? And of course, I mean, if you can understand what the Lord is saying about that, it's pretty easy to understand what that means. But if not, you know, we're gonna, you know, I guess I can explain it in this way. And it involves faith. And it, you know, it moves in, and a lot of the things I'm learning with faith right now, is coming from revival. And I've mentioned, I can't remember, I think just about every episode I mention about revival, and it's because all of this has come from revival and stems from revival. And I even talked in the last episode about revival, and I shared with you what the Lord's been talking to me, and shared with you a prophetic word about revival, and revival that is, you know, only in certain places right now, just here's and there's, but it's fixing to grow and become bigger and be everywhere. It's going to be a worldwide revival, and it's coming, where everybody can see, where everybody that are believers and those that are not believers right now can see and understand this revival that's coming. And I really encouraged and the word I gave to not be offended. And I know that when we talk about revival in the Christian church, it's so very easy to like categorize it in a certain way and put it in a little pigeonhole and make it a certain thing. And revival's not like that. It's not a certain thing. It's a reviving. And a reviving can be something specific, or it can be something very broad that the Lord and Holy Spirit is awakening his church to and reviving them, bringing them back to life about. So revival is never to be pigeonholed, and that's some of the reason why I shared that prophetic word in my last episode, was because there are going to be those that are going to pigeonhole it. And anybody that's grown up in church, whether it's, you know, Baptist, Southern Baptist, Pentecostal, Assemblies of God, non-denominational, and I'm sure there's others that I'm missing, but those are the ones that I know, just off the top of my head, they talk about revival. there's discussions about revival, but everybody has revival and the definition of revival in this certain category. And a lot of times, like growing up, I knew, and I'm not going to get into big details. I talk about this in other episodes, but I knew revival as there was the season of revival, tent meetings, and people that are affiliated with your church coming and visiting, and you inviting friends and family to come and hear all these preachers preach, and they're, you know, they're gonna preach a certain way, and they're gonna expect, there's all these things that happen during these revival seasons. And I put parentheses on that, revival seasons. And that's kind of how I knew revival. A revival was just a season where everybody shouted more and everybody jumped more and everybody, there's all kinds, you know, people brought, you know, sick people, they brought their family members that were lost and things like that. And then it was over and they took the tent down, or, you know, maybe it was in the big church, you know, sanctuary, and they change everything. Everybody goes home. All those other affiliated churches go home, and there's not any more guest speakers anymore, and everything goes back to normal. And now there's no change. And it's like, you know, we'll see you again next season when we have this, and we'll be back to doing whatever we were doing in that season. And quite honestly, as a child, or, you know, just growing up and hearing about revival, what I saw it as was another way of getting more members. And I'm just being honest. I didn't really understand anything, especially since I didn't see any change. There was nothing different. When it came to revival, I just figured it was like a season where you all come together and you get, you know, more people in this one church. Maybe there's not enough people in this church, so the churches that are affiliated with you, they get together and they preach and stuff, and maybe more members come, and suddenly that one has a few more members. You know, like, I didn't see any significant difference to any other time in anybody's life, and I never really had a thought of revival being something monumentally changing in a person's life. It was just like an event. Like, there's the Christmas pageant event, like there was the New Year's event, where everybody fasted, you know, for a month or something. Just those, you know, it's these little events, the holiday where, you know, church members that can go will go skiing, you know, like it was just, or a camping event, the women's conference, the men's conference. I just saw it as just one of those things. And I didn't really understand what revival meant and what revival was until the Lord really awakened that in me after I got born again. And then completely undid me and undid everything I thought I knew and everything I thought I needed to prepare for and everything I thought I was going to see. When revival actually came into my life and completely transformed everything and changed everything and changed what I thought I knew and really challenged what I thought I knew about myself. And I really thought I lived in freedom until I understood what freedom really meant. And it completely ruined me forever for anything but his raw and tangible presence in my life. So, it's a new season of understanding and getting to know faith. I learned about faith growing up in church. I learned about faith in Bible studies, you know, growing up in church. Their definitions, the this and that's in the Bible and scripture and all this stuff. But now I'm learning about faith while in revival. And it's different. It is very different. And I have to say, the Lord has really been reminding me of things and saying, you know, are you going to trust me in this? Are you going to stand in faith in this the way Abraham did? And then are you going to speak it out the way Abraham spoke it out, with just a knowing, like a deep within you, in your spirit knowledge. It's not just head knowledge, but like real deep in your spirit knowing that what God said is true and what God has said is going to happen because God is faithful in everything that he says. And then you speaking it with just the confidence and the casualness of, yes, this is going to happen because God said it's going to happen. And I'm going to speak it as if it's already in the process of happening or has already happened and it's going to be done because I know it's going to be done. And just seeing how he was with, you know, there was Isaac and he knew Isaac was coming, you know, and just the, yeah, you know, I'm going to, in my old age, I'm going to have this happen. And then, you know, Isaac being, you know, him being told sacrifice Isaac at an altar, you know, and saying, yeah, I don't know how the Lord's going to do it, but Isaac is the one that God promised to me. So one way or another, we're both coming down this mountain. And just seeing that faith that Abraham had, is stunning, but at the same time, knowing that that's the same kind of faith we're to have. And I talk about this in my first episode, so I don't want to digress too far and spend so much time talking about something I already talked about, but I want to talk some more about faith, and I want to talk about, you know, cause I talked about faith and trust and, how trusting in God, having faith in God is trusting that what he has said is going to happen and knowing that he's got everything under control and everything's okay. So a lot of times I will say faith and trust and they're like one and the same, because you can't have one without the other. And so, I may do that, when I talk about faith. And if I say trust, just understand that it's faith. It's the word faith. And you, like I said, you can't have one without the other. There has to be trust in order there to be faith. And there has to be faith in order for there to be trust. They're one and the same. They're like the same word. And I've actually been researching this the last couple of weeks, because I was curious, you know, are these the same thing? You know, is there something I need to learn about this? Am I looking at it wrong? How do I need to view this? And I, of course, brought out the Amplified Classic because I love the Amplified Classic, but it helps give you the similar wordings and similar words to what is being said in order to give a broader understanding, because of course we know that the Greek and the Aramaic, not one word explained everything. Like you can have, for instance, you can have a word that, like love, that could mean so many different kinds of things and so many different kinds of ways and sometimes it's more of an expression rather than a word. Honesty or truth. So, you know, it's several, you know, it can have several different things. Grace, for instance, there's emotion, there's feeling, there's more to it than just a word. It's something that comes, you know, out of you in the definition of grace in another language, like in Greek. It means more than just grace. It could practically be a sentence of what you're saying. You know what I mean? So I really wanted to look into the faith and trust. So I'd been looking into it. I had read some things. There are some people that are dead set on calling it two different words. But they're related, and I'm reading it, like, their explanation and going, Nah, I'm pretty saying that it's one and the same, even as you're explaining it. That's pretty much one and the same. It was one of the concordances, you know. And sorry, I bumped my microphone. And I'm going through it, and I'm like, no, that. I mean, I know you're kind of dead set and making them separate, but even your explanation has them kind of wrapped up together, and they're like, you know, two vines just kind of like wrapped harmoniously up together, and that just looks like the same thing to me. I am going to, they'll be one and the same, and that's just the way it's going to be, in these episodes of Faith. I don't know how long the Lord's going to have me talk about this. Even in my revival, my prophetic word, the last episode, it still came around to faith and what it means to have faith in order to not be offended, in case you will be offended when revival comes and when it shows itself. Are you going to have faith and trust in God that what he's doing is actually good and is good for you and will change your life? Are you going to step out in faith and say, I receive this. What you're doing, I receive this. And that's a step of faith to do that, because, you know, you're going to have everybody around you going, that's crazy, and they're a cult, and what that dude said is wrong, and you see what these people are doing, isn't that whack? And, you know, and there's all this stuff that's going around, just like in other revivals, you know, there's all this stuff going around, and you have to step out in faith and say, despite all of what everybody's saying, I'm going to step out and I'm going to say, Lord, if you're here, I say yes to anything and everything you want for me, and I'm going to just receive it. And so, even in that, there's faith. And the Lord really surprised me on that when I started talking about it, when I gave the prophetic word on it, and then all of a sudden he was like, tell them this, and this is a step of faith. And so, I got blindsided with that one as well, actually while I was doing the episode. So, he's directed me once again to talk about faith, and now after 22 minutes, we're gonna talk some more about it. If you haven't listened to any of my episodes, I can rabbit trail, but also I just love sharing, you know, so... once again about faith, and we're going to go to Galatians 2, and we're going to read 16. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. Oops, I just hit my microphone again. Sorry. I'm going to read the Amplified so that we can get a pretty good idea about what is being said, fully understand all that's being said. Okay? All right. Yet we know that a man is justified or reckoned righteous and in right standing with God, not by works of the law, but only through faith and absolute reliance on and adherence to and trust in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Therefore, even we ourselves have believed on Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. For we cannot be justified by an observance of the ritual of the law given by Moses, because by keeping legal rituals and by works, no human being can ever be justified or declared righteous and put in right standing with God. That's a lot for one verse. That's a lot. But here he is discussing in Galatians that it is not through works or, he's really talking to the Jews and talking about how it's not through the law, it's not through the works that we are saved and we know salvation, but it's through faith and belief on Jesus and our trust in Jesus and what he's done for us that we have salvation. because it's nothing that we can do to become saved. You know, a lot of religions, you have to do things in order to maybe be saved. You have to do things in order to make it to nirvana, for instance, to a place of peace, to a plane where you no longer, dying and, going to a new life and dying and going to another life in order to become at peace or at one, united with the spiritual life, things like that. There's a lot of works that have to be done. You have to sacrifice certain things. The old ways, for instance, my culture, and not, not too much in my culture, but, in the Mexican culture, you hear about, and a lot of times you don't hear about all the different cultures there, but you hear about the main ones like the Aztecs and the Mayans and stuff, but how, there were human sacrifices in order to appease the gods. You had to sacrifice a certain amount of humans. You had to eat their flesh in order to obtain a certain level of their blessing, and there was all these kind of little things that were done in other cultures too, in order to be blessed by the gods, or in order to obtain their favor, in order to be saved. But many of them, there was no definite you are saved. There is no definite salvation in any of these. You had to hope that you did enough good deeds to obtain salvation. You had to die a certain way, in order to make it to Valhalla. You had to live a certain way in order to not go into certain levels of Hades. There's all kinds of different cultures that tell you that you can maybe be saved if, but not one of them, except for Christianity, gives you the assurance of salvation through faith. And I know that even then, that there are some denominations that are like, well, you have to live this certain life, and then maybe you'll be saved. But that's not how scripture's written. There is the assurance of salvation through faith. Just right here, what Paul says in Galatians, our assurance of faith and being transformed and knowing life eternal is through faith on Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. We have to put our faith and trust in him, right? Right. And there's nothing that we can do in order to be saved. There's nothing that we can do in order to be considered holy. There's nothing that we can do in order to be considered righteous. It is all a reaction from him in doing what? In having faith on him, and having faith in him, and having faith in his word and what he says, having faith in what Jesus did for us. It all has to do with our trust and our faith in him. And Paul talks about that, fully in this. Faith is our having faith in him, and faith that he will change us and transform us and save us and bring us to salvation even. Is what brings action and brings us to salvation. He reacts in our repentance and faith on what Jesus did on the cross. He reacts to that. And you can say, well, you know, there's humility. He reacts to humility. Well, if you are acting on faith in what Jesus did for you and repenting and putting your faith and trust in him, humility is with it, that it's a part, you know, and I've even been guilty of, especially before revival, I've even been guilty of separating all these words and separating all these things and saying, well, you have to be like this, and then you have to be like this, and then you have to be like this, and then this, and only through all of that will you be saved, or only through all of that will this happen. And it's not. Faith, and faith in him, faith in his word, and then everything else is a reaction of your faith, and because of the reaction of your faith, he reacts upon it because of it, you know. Faith is monumental, is essential, is the key word for it all, you know. His love for us is so great that he sent Jesus, and Jesus put his faith and trust in what, you know, because again, yes, Jesus is God in man. Okay, yes, he's in flesh, God in flesh, but he is flesh. He was human. And so Jesus as human was just like us. He had to put, and the scripture backs it up, he had to put his faith in that God was going to do what he said he would do in order to bring him back to life, in order to in order for salvation to come, and he had to respond in such a way with what Jesus was putting his faith and trust in him. So there's so much of that in scripture, and I could really get into that, and that could really be a really long session, and golly, I may actually do it one day. But even Jesus had to stand in faith and be, you know, and have faith in God and believing in God that God will do what he said he would do. And in having faith in God's word and what he said he would do, God reacted in doing what he said he would do. Okay, don't get confused by that. But it is all of that. It's I have faith in what God said he would do. And what he said he would do. And so I'm putting my faith in that. And in response from God, because I put my faith in that, he responds by doing exactly what he said he would do. And I think a lot of times where we get ourselves in trouble when it comes to believers in Christ is we only do this mental, like, I'm my faith is really hard in my brain. I've got this really hard faith, and grr, you know, and you look like you're in agony as you're pushing out faith, you know. It's, you know, it's not eggs of faith. It's not, you know, like, you look like you're in pain, you look like you're constipated. And there's so many times when I thought that myself, and I've even had to, you know, while I was learning myself about, you know, just, you know, going through my walk, and especially after, before revival, asking myself, like, do I look in pain the way they look in pain while we're standing in faith? You know, am I clenching my jaw and going, as I'm standing in faith? Is it really this much of an effort? You know, because Jesus said, like a mustard seed, faith like a mustard seed. So it's really, really small, and it's really, really simple. And am I really, I mean, does it really take all of this? And I've had, you know, I've had to question that myself. And, you know, and through revival, because I'm telling you guys, revival changes you, and revival changes everything. And you realize how simple, how incredibly simple it is to walk with Christ. You know, we talk about how difficult and how hard it is, and it's like this and like that, and it's a fight, and it's a and it's incredibly simple. And I'm still learning. I'm not saying I got it all. I don't. You know, I'm coming from, I've been in revival since 2016, and here I am still, the Lord's still showing me things and showing me how incredibly simple all of this is. And so don't think for a second that I'm coming to you saying I got it all worked out, because I do not. But I can tell you from the bottom of my very being, from like the deepest part of me, it is so very simple to walk with Christ. He never made it for us to work hard for it. It was never meant to be hard. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. It's not supposed to be difficult. We let go of all the difficult things when we gave it all to him. We repented of our sins. We put our faith and trust in Jesus, and he completely changed our lives. And he put a new heart in us, and he put a spirit in us. And from then on, it should be incredibly easy. Yeah, there's going to be things that happen in our lives that are going to be incredibly difficult. Sure. I mean, you know, if you've listened to any of my past episodes, you would understand that I've had some difficult, there have been some difficult moments, even just recently, some difficult things where I had to really trust and I had to really put my faith in what, and the Word of God, and have faith that things were going to, you know, happen the way he said they were happen. But guess what? They happened. And it was incredibly simple, and it was incredibly easy, and it was incredibly this aha moment of, look at the fruit of what it meant to just trust him. And countless times, I keep hitting my microphone, I put it in a different spot. Countless times, over and over again, the Lord has continually showed me since the very first night I got born again, that just trusting him works everything out. And it was just the other day, it hit me, like, he has been showing me from the first hour I got born again to just be at his feet. Just be at his feet. And it's better to sit at his feet than to be on my own, to just trust him, and everything works out, and everything happens that he said is going to happen. It will happen if I just trust him. And I have story after story of just trusting him and seeing the fruit of it. And the Lord has just been showing again, and I think we really do need it. We really need to understand the simplicity of faith. Just as like I talked about in the last season, the simplicity of grace, and just you know, before that, the simplicity of love and his love and how simple it is, and but powerful, and grace and how simple it is but powerful. And revival and how simple it is, but yet powerful, and yielding to him and how simple it is and yet powerful. Like, everything he does has power, but it's simplicity. It's all supposed to be so very simple for us. And it's us who has made it so daggum hard. And we don't need it to be hard. It's not supposed to be hard. And all our efforts that we, and all our time that we've put ourselves through has just been ourselves, and none of it has been the enemy. Even, oh, the enemy's like this, and I have to, you know, try real hard. It hasn't even been the enemy. We've done it all to ourselves. We allowed ourselves so many times to be shackled and messed up, and we've put the shackles on ourselves. We clicked them, thinking that things had to be this way in order to attain breakthrough, and yet it's never supposed to be that way. And understanding the simplicity of the faith of having the faith in God, and how simple it was, and how simple it is. And it sounds really hard, but over and over again in scripture, it has shown how incredibly simple it is, and how powerful it is, and how important it is. I'll do another scripture. Now, anybody that grew up in church should know this one. Should know this one, because it's said a lot and it's preached a lot. I'm gonna tell you. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. I almost kept reading, getting into the whole. I love that chapter. That's one of my favorite chapters. Faith is believing and seeing and trusting. It's knowing that which cannot be seen, but you know is coming. You know is there because he said it. And you are sitting in the knowledge of it's coming. It's here. It will be here. It's within my grasp. I see what he said would happen, and I'm going to speak it as if it's in my hands. It's in my reach, you know. And a lot of times when we hear that, we're, you know, I remember the first time I heard that, I was like, what? But if you look at it, if you look into like Abraham spoke as if Isaac would be in existence. Like, there is already a child. I'm already going to have a child. This child is coming. God said it was coming. And so it's coming. And there's this land that God promised me. And I'm believing that God is going to give me that land. God's going to do this. God said he's going to do this. And so I believe that it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And I'm going to speak to it like it's going to happen. And what did he do with Isaac when they were up in the, you know, up on the mountain? And Isaac's like, you know, where's, we don't have a lamb to sacrifice. And what did Abraham say? God would provide the sacrifice. Like, he had faith every single step of the way that when God said something was going to happen, it was going to be done. And every time God said it, he believed it. He said yes, and he spoke it. I'm not saying like, you know, well, we won't get into that. But everything that God says, and that means the word of God, the scripture. If God says it, if God says we have it, we have it. You know, we can go into healing. If God said that through the stripes of Jesus, we are healed, then through the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. And we get to stand on that, and we get to have that, and we get to hold on to that. And doggone it, our body is going to respond to that word of God. And by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. And I mean, I've talked about my husband, Kenneth, the Kilted Preacher. If you haven't listened to any of his podcasts, you know, go and find the Kilted Preacher, and he's got some on there. He's been working out a way to start podcasting again. It's a little different from what I do. Because we use a different type of technology. And so he can't really use how, you know, the way I do podcasting. And so he's working out a different way to do it and making it happen so that he can get to putting episodes up again. So, you know, keep an eye on it. Keep a lookout. Put a notification thing so that when he finally puts one on there, it'll ding ya and it'll tell you when he has one up there. But I digress. Okay, the Kilted Preacher, my husband, Kenneth, I've talked about, you know, him being sick, and it was a genetic disorder. It was a genetic disease that, you know, as we look back now, we can see all the times that it has been very apparent in his life, you know, growing up, knowing the symptoms and the things that tend to attack when you're children, like from infant on up, the things that are key signs of porphyria. Were very much apparent, very much there, and nobody could understand why certain things would happen to his body, would happen in his life. But we now can see, you know, what it was. And for men, about the age 30 is when it hits them, and it hits them hard, and boy, did it hit him hard. Were there some key signs that something wasn't right before then? Yes, there were. We didn't really understand what it was. But anyway, we realized that something was definitely wrong with him, and there was definitely something that was attacking his body and was killing him from the inside out. And it was slowly killing him, and we couldn't get anybody to, you know, help us. And then we were like, he was kind of like, well, when we finally got a name, it was like, well, whatever this is, we were already declaring and, you know, praying for healing over his body. But it finally came to a point where the Lord really gave me a shakedown. And he was like, you know, you're going to start declaring this, and you're going to start declaring the word. And the Lord told me, I'm with you. I'm with you on this. And what you declare over him, I say yes to. We are a team. And I was like, and just thinking about it now, like, the Lord's been so faithful. Sorry. The Lord's been so faithful. But he told me, we're doing this together. And he told me again, just trust me. I've got this. But we're doing this together. And I became the Lord's mouthpiece over my husband's life. And I was outspoken. I was very blunt. But because it was my time to really step up to the plate, and I did not shirk from being the Lord's mouthpiece. And I really felt myself in that time like an Isaiah, like a Jeremiah of the moment, where I prophetically declared things over his life, and I was not going to waver from that, because the Lord was with me. And I'm not saying that like bragging or anything. Goodness no. If you knew, if you knew what the Lord knew with me in the darkness of the night, when everybody was asleep, and when I go to him in the living room, and I spent my time with him in the living room, like, I like to say it's like, I'm having my alone time with everybody asleep, and I do, I'm a night person, so I like to be up at night, and I have alone time, and it's usually while I'm making my husband his lunch for the next day and breakfast and stuff. But I use that time between me and Jesus. And it's my favorite time. Gosh, when I had prayer slots, that was the time I had prayer slots, because it's my favorite time with him. And I'm not bragging about standing on and declaring and not wavering, because the Lord was my strength and my fortress in the dark. When I was the weakest, and I thought I couldn't go on with it, the Lord was my strength. The Lord was my fortress. He was my song. And and he prepared me, and he shored me up in the darkness of the night to prepare me for the day when I would stand before my husband and tell him what I knew. I knew that God would do exactly what he said he would do. I knew there would be healing. I knew his body would respond to the word of God. And there was no doubt in my mind. And I told him, so help me, if you decide to die over this, the Lord has given me the okay. And you will be resurrected. I will bring you back to life, because the Lord said I could do it. And I don't care, like, if you get mad at me because you're like, woman, I was in heaven. I am going to bring you back to life because your time is not done. And the enemy is not going to destroy you. I will not allow that. It will not happen. Absolutely not. I will not tolerate it. And, I had to stand in faith during that time. And, I learned, even though it was a fight, even though there was so much against me, even though, times, you know, there, it was hard. There was things were coming up against me, like waves hard on the shore. And it felt difficult to stand. If you ever been at a beach where the water's a bit choppy, even in the lowest point, it's kind of hard to stay standing. But even as it came against me, it was incredibly simple to have faith in God, because so many times he has told me, just trust me, and I will see you through this, and this will be done. And all I had to do was trust him. It's so very easy. Faith in him, faith in his word, so very easy. And so, in this, with this example, I saw my husband's healing. I saw his body whole. I saw it. I saw him strong again. And I wasn't gonna let that stop. I wasn't gonna let that go. With everything in me was focused on that. And that is a pretty good example of faith. Is the assurance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. Or as the Amplify says it, as I get my voice back. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Everything else around said my husband was dying from the inside out, and it was a slow death, and it was a painful death, and he was losing his mind. But what I saw was him whole and strong, with a strong mind, able to stand without pain, able to move and live again. Not when he was in heaven, but here on earth. And his body was going to be whole here on earth. It was going to happen. We were going to see it. It was going to get done. And I had that conviction. Abraham had the conviction that his son Isaac would make it through one way or another, and they would walk down that mountain together. That God had it all under control. The children of Israel, as Moses is relating in Deuteronomy, the beginning of Deuteronomy, the children of Israel were told by God, there's all these people. Here is the city. Go and take it. It's yours. I've given it to you. And they decided, well, let's spy out the land. Let's see how they move and what they're doing and where their walls and where their doors are. And so let's send out some spies and then come back and let them tell us what it looks like. And because of the news of what those spies said, some of them were just trusting the Lord. But what most of those spies said, they completely lost their faith in God. Completely lost their faith and trust of what God said. God said, I've given you this land. Go and take them. You will win. And they decided, because of what they physically heard or saw, it would be too much for them physically. Instead of remembering who their God is and what he said, they did not see what he said. And so they could not do what he said to do, that he promised them that they could have. They could not see what they said he could they could have. And so they had no faith. And in no faith, they completely disobeyed God. And because they completely disobeyed God, God told them, then the majority of you aren't even going to see the promised land. You're not going to cross it. You won't know it. And he directed them into another land, in another area. And they circled a mountain 40 years until the last of that generation, except for the ones promised, God promised would live, died. Excuse me. And he told them that the next generation would take the land, that they would trust him, that they would have faith in him, and they would take the land, and they would do what he said they could do, and they would do it in faith. Faith brings obedience. Okay? There's not, we have put all these words in different categories, and we have said you have to do this and this. For instance, you have to have faith and you have to obey. When in reality, it's like this. When you have faith, obedience comes. When you have faith, obedience is simple. It's one and the same. They walk together. They walk together. Just like humility walks with faith. Love walks with faith. Joy walks with faith. Peace walks with faith. Obedience walks with faith. Patience walks with faith. Fearlessness walks with faith. All of it walks with faith. Faith is what's leading it. It's what's guiding it. All of it's together. They're all together. They're in the same band. They're on the same team. Faith brings about all of these things. And when he brings about all of these things, a reaction from God will always come. Always. Always, always, always. Don't say, well, I thought I had faith in God, and I thought I had faith in what he said. I did it. I had faith. I believed what God said, and this didn't happen. Faith always has a response from God. It may not be in the time that you want it to be. Heck, as soon as we knew about what was going on with Kenneth and that things weren't right, was years before there was a manifestation of what we said would happen. Even in that moment, that night, that there was the manifestation upon his body of that faith of healing and health in his body, it was a night where we stepped out in faith as well. There were other nights we stepped out in faith, you know, but there was this assurance that night. I'm telling you, both he and I have, if you talk to us separately, you would hear how both of us knew this was the night. We both had an assurance that God was going to do what God said he was going to do, and that was the night it was going to be done, and it happened. There was an assurance. So stand in faith. Continue to speak. Like, look how long Abraham waited for a son that God promised him long before. Stand in faith. Stand knowing that what God has said and what God has promised is true, and he is faithful. And it is simple to hold on, to just trust him. He's got it. It is really is just trust. Just trust him. He's got it. He's got it. You can stand in faith and the assurance of faith because God's got it. It's been done. Really and truly, it's been done. And you could say, oh, well, are you, you know, it's how can it be done if it hasn't happened? Well, let's see. Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago, right? Thousands of years ago. You're born now, right? So what was done then, he did knowing about you now, right? You weren't born then. You weren't around then. Nobody was talking about you then. Mama wasn't pregnant with you then. No, you came later. Thousands of years later, you came. You were about. Your salvation came. So, Jesus had faith that what he was doing through the beatings, the torture, the cross, knowing that he was going to die and having to put faith that his father would resurrect him from the dead, all of it. He did it in faith, knowing that you and I were going to come along and need salvation. So faith is the assurance of the thing that Jesus hoped for, us. And he did it all knowing that it was going to be done. So if Jesus can walk in it knowing thousands of years ago you were going to need it, shouldn't we be able to just trust him and just put our faith in what scripture says is true? We believe that it's raw and living and active and true. Wouldn't it be easy to just put faith in him and his word and to speaking it and declaring and walking and knowing that what he says is true, even if it doesn't come immediately like we would like it to, even if it takes months or years, but knowing that we will see it fulfilled? Stand in faith in believing that he's got it. Everything is under control. What he says he has done, he will do. We can hold on to it with the joy in believing that he's got it all under control. And all we have to do is say yes and amen and walk it out like we're looking at it right there in front of us. It's that easy. It's that simple. Isn't that crazy? Like, isn't it crazy? Our mental, physical minds cannot fathom how easy and simple it is to just trust him. But it is so very easy. And I might talk about this again sometime because apparently I have a lot to say about it. But I'm going to stop here. So until next time, be blessed.